Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Can anybody do what the Lord God can do? Who can make you brand spanking new? And if you can't believe that, you've got a major problem. If you can't believe that you go from sinner to saint, you've got a problem. Because he said that if you trust Jesus and you give your life to Jesus and you get saved, you become born again and you become a child of God. You see, we're all creations of God. God created all of us, but we're not all children of God. You have to get out from the leadership of Adam and step into the leadership of Christ Jesus. The second Adam. The Bible calls him, Corinthians, the second man Adam. Amen. And so the old man, I want you to see this picture. You see that? There's the old man. Broken, sick, and nasty, and a mean old curder. Right? Remember what you were like? Remember how you used to cuss? Remember you kind of, when you got saved, you had to just learn your old language? I had to lose a language. I was in the steakhouse business. I had two steakhouses and a coffee shop. And in that business in South Africa, I'm telling you, we made sailors look like they were saints. Because when you're running, you've got 400 people standing outside your door and you've got 300 inside and you're running behind, the words fly. You know what I'm talking about, brother. And that was BC, before Christ. But after Christ, I had to lose that language. What's the strangest thing? I had nothing to say. Come on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And the things that used to excite me, I couldn't let them excite me anymore. And all of a sudden, when I did things that I used to do, when I was that dude, I do things that I used to do, all of a sudden, I felt like that guy. I felt, oh, there's something wrong. Once I got born again, now when I made the mistakes and sinned and did the things I used to do as an old man, something happened. I think, oh, God. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, why did I do that? Remember that? That's a good sign that you're saved. Amen. So what happens is you go from the old man, and then, you know, there's a metamorphosis with a silkworm and or a caterpillar, and it comes out as a butterfly. We went into Christ, and we came out as a new man. Amen. Now watch over there. Watch. Here's what took place when you were on that cross. You see that? There he is. You were on the cross with Christ. That's why it says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You were in Christ. When Paul, the Apostle Paul, stood there and he wrote this, this is written by the Apostle Paul, Galatians, when the Apostle Paul wrote that I was crucified together with Christ, you see the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tells you the life of Jesus, how he lived, how he died, the resurrection, the burial, it tells you all that. But the epistles tells you what it means. Now, on the cross, you had three people. That day, remember, they had more around, but surrounding Christ. There was a sinner on this side, there was a sinner on that side, and Christ was in the middle. And if you asked anybody where you see yourself there, you would have said the sinner on that side or the sinner on that side. Am I right? That's how we would have said we were. But Paul said, no, there's a revelation God's given me. We were on the cross with Christ. You would never have seen yourself as being on the cross with Christ. You would have seen yourself as a Roman centurion whipping him, a sinner on that side, something, but not on the cross. But Paul says a supernatural spiritual thing took place that day. You were on the cross with Christ. He was busy saving us. And the metamorphosis from that man to that man, from loser to victorious man of God or woman of God. That's what Jesus Christ did for our lives. Do you understand there is no other God? Isaiah 45:22, he says, turn to me and be ye saved, for I am the Lord and there is no other. I am God, there is no other. There is no other. Listen, there's no plan B. I want you to know, no plan B. Amen. So you best make sure that you're in Christ. Because when you're in Christ, you're a Christ in, Christian. And Christ is in you and you're in Christ. Amen. And you know how to do that. Amen. But a supernatural metamorphosis takes place. and it's taken place in your life. And now you've got to stop seeing yourself as that loser. Stop calling yourself a fool when you make a mistake. Stop saying you idiot, because I know you talk to yourself. Come on, you know you heard yourself saying, oh, you're idiot, why'd you do that? Come on, are you an idiot or are you saved? You've got to make a choice now. Which side of the cross am I on? You've got through the cross now. You're out of the curse. You're in the blessing. So when you say, I'm an idiot, you say, your work on that cross wasn't enough. I'm still an idiot. Amen. Yes. When you say, I'm broke, you didn't do enough. When you say, I'm sick, you didn't do enough. Come on. Is that right? So we've got to see ourselves as someone totally different. You've got to actually see yourself and believe yourself saved. Because how do we receive salvation? Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. I didn't choose to be on the cross. I wasn't born before the foundation of the world. Jesus suffered that. Do you know that? It was preordained, pre-planned. And God planned that those who would receive him on the cross with him. He did it. I didn't ask him to put me on the cross. I didn't go and demand he put me on the cross. I never said, hey, it's a good idea if you put me on the cross. I would have been the first one to run from the cross. Am I right? I mean, think about Peter, the great apostle Peter. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times before the cross. Amen. And so he did this out of his own love and mercy for us. He chose to do it. He did. Listen, he chose to be sick for me. He took every sickness upon his body. Everyone. Remember the whipping on his back, 39 stripes. And he says, by the stripes on his back, you are healed. Isaiah 53:5. By the stripes on his back, you are healed. And then 1 Peter 2:24 says, by the stripes on his back, you were healed. And you better get to that place where if I are healed and I were healed, then I is healed. You need to get there. You better believe you're healed. I'm healed. I haven't had a doctor in 40 years. Thank you, Jesus. I haven't been sick in 28 years. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. The attack comes, but then I just remind myself, no, you're the child of God, and he took care of that. Now he did the same with, how many of you are going to face Jesus, the Lord one day in the great white judgment, you're going to face him there. And he's going to say, I'm judging you for your sin. Any of you over here? Because if he judges you for sin, you're done. He judged Jesus. He judged Jesus. He took my judgment. He took my punishment. Is that right? So now I don't expect to stand before God and say, oh, I'm the sinful person. No, he changed all of that. Well, if I'm not going to keep my sin on me, why would I keep my sickness? It's not mine. Why would I keep the devil's sickness on me? Amen. You see, we've got to get word of faith, spirit-filled stuff in our lives to understand what's going on here. This is not just some kind of a book. This is not Disney World. Seriously, some people think this is Disney and, you know, yeah, it's make-believe and there's no hell and they're just trying to control the masses by telling them that there's a hell and stuff like that. That's what the devil wants you to believe. And let me tell you something. I want you to know that the devil, when he tries to trip you up, what he's trying to do is he's trying to steal your inheritance. He's trying to steal your inheritance. When he comes with side roads and side blocks and stumbling things and all that, he's trying to steal your inheritance from your life. And then when you start thinking you're a sinner, then you're going to have to pay for your sin. Because now sickness tries to attack you. He now gets sickness to attack, right? Now you think you're a sinner, so you think, well, I deserve it. Because I sinned last week. And there are Christians today that are wrecked with sickness. They broke. They're going through the worst kind of divorces. So many different things. And they think that it's ascribed because of the sin that they've committed in their life. And listen, when you get a person and point them to Jesus Christ, the only thing that can save you is Jesus, the only one, right? Yeah. But now once you get saved, the Bible says he makes you righteous. He makes you righteous. Amen? We know 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 2 Corinthians 5:20. He says he makes you. He makes you righteous. Amen? He makes you right. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look at this. These are some of the things that's changed in our life. Amen? Okay, here we go. There it is. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look what he says. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who of God, that's Jesus, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Did you see what he made you? Look at these things that he made you. He says, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. The word wisdom means supreme intelligence, such as belongs to God, to make wise, to have understanding. You know, there's a scripture. It says, I have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians. I have the mind of Christ. Amen. So he makes me wise. I can make right choices and good decisions. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ and he's made me wise. That's why it says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Don't lean on your knowledge. Don't think, well, I've got degrees and I've got the diplomas and I've studied out long and hard, so I'm leaning on what I've learned, because that will trip you up. He says, lean on him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I acknowledge I have the mind of Christ. Therefore, I'm not going to stick to my wisdom and what I know. I'm going to hear from heaven. Then you won't buy the car that's going to be a yellow submarine. What do they call it? A lemon, right? And so he says, he's made you wisdom and righteousness. Righteousness means justification or justified. Right? A state approved of God, right standing with God. That's what that means. Righteousness means justified. He's justified us. We can come into the presence of God without condemnation or sin feelings. I've been made righteous. You see, a lot of people don't understand this, but not only am I made righteous, I've also got wisdom. You think my wife and myself are so wise to get this and the synergy and all the stuff that God, you think it's us? We were wiped out in the hurricane. In 1 week we were here. In 1 week the school was there. That was us? You've got to be kidding me. We lean on the Lord. We trust in God for everything, for everything. Can you say amen? What about sanctification? Remember, made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Sanctification means purification. In other words, a state of purity, set apart, holy, made holy. He made you holy. Well, I don't feel holy. Well, you know, sometimes I don't feel saved. But I'm still saved. Do you understand? And sometimes I don't feel holy. But nothing unholy is going to get into heaven. So you better watch how you think. And you better get faith to know that if you're unrighteous, you can't get in. If you're not holy, you can't get in. Because remember this, Jesus cleansed out the temple where Satan used to come in. And remember, he could come in and accuse the brethren. But then when Jesus came up with the blood, he cleansed out the temple and he's our high priest. He is now our high priest and he intercedes for us daily. There's nothing sinful going on there. Amen. And so we've been made holy. Say, I've been made holy. Now, when I was growing up in the denomination I was, that's the last thing I would have said in my life. I'm holy. Because I would go by what I do and how I live, determined if I'm holy or not. You see, when a person receives Jesus Christ, you go from sinner to saint. The devil still wants you to think you're unholy and you're still unrighteous and you're a sinner. Because, I mean, you look at it this way, and I've told you this before. What does a fish do? He swims. Why? Because he's a fish. What does a bird do? He flies. Why? Because he's a bird. What does a sinner do? Why? Because he's a sinner. The devil wants you to believe you're a sinner. What does an unholy man do? Unholy things. He doesn't want you to think of yourself as righteous.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to ChristFamilyChurch.net or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. in our beautiful Tradition Town Hall facility.